I wish that were absolutely true with me, standing on the promises, listening every moment to the Spirit's come, resting in my Savior as my all in all, standing. I wish that was absolutely true. I'd have no fear, no doubts, no worries, no trouble.
But we don't do.
That's why we need this message tonight. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Go back to Colossians 3. Colossians 3. Let's read verses 15 and 16 again. We looked at verse 15 last Wednesday. Do you remember this? Did it dwell in you this week? Did these words dwell in you? Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you're called. In one body, unity. And be ye thankful. Everything be thankful for, don't we? If we were more thankful, we'd be happier, more joyful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. If the peace of God rules our hearts and minds and thoughts, in this church as a body and unity in our homes, if the word of Christ dwells in us, lives in us richly, that is, we're not poor in knowledge and understanding of the word. If that is so, do you know how much love and joy and peace and faith and long-suffering and fruit we would enjoy? Sadly, it's not so, is it? That's why we need it. If that were so, if the peace of God ruled us, the word of God lived in us more, dwelled in us, we would be more like our Lord, wouldn't we? He's sound asleep in a raging storm. Sound asleep, resting in his Father's arms, his Father's will, his Father's love. Not a worry, not a care. We'd be more like Paul. Paul was in prison when he wrote these words. He's in prison when he wrote these epistles, several of them. And he's writing to encourage people who are sitting in the comfort of their home. He's in a jail cell. And it wasn't a country club like they are today. And he's encouraging people that are sitting in the comfort of their home. My, my. He said, I know whom I believe. I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know. He said, I'm ready to depart. If the word of God would dwell in us like that. Oh boy. Peace ruling in our hearts and mind in the church. We'd never have a fuss, never have a fight, never be offended, never have a falling out, ever. If we were more thankful, if we would be more thankful, we would never murmur and complain about anything. You know, no matter how bad we have it, there's somebody who has it much worse. Right? We don't have to look far to find someone that has it much worse than that. Be thankful. I'd like to be thankful. All right. Verse 16 is where we begin tonight. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Who's he speaking to? The world? No. To the church. Those in Christ. Those whom Christ is in. Those in whom there's a new creature, a new man. The savior of life to life, okay? His children. Those begotten by the word of God. Born by the word of God. Those that believe on the Lord Jesus. That know him. Have a union with him. That's who he's talking to. This is the words of the Father, the words of the Son to his people, to his disciples. It says, let the word of... It's not allow. Won't you allow it? God's going to speak to you if it's his will. But he says this in this sense. When he said to his disciples, let these sayings sink down deep in your ear. Don't let anything hinder you from hearing it. That's the sense of what she's saying. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, abundantly. If we have a beggarly or a poor knowledge or understanding or experience in God's word, we'll have very poor faith. We'll have very little faith. We'll live in full of doubts and fears, okay? We'll be overcome by the world. How do we overcome the world? Faith. Faith. How do we keep the world from consuming us and being overcome by faith? Well, where's faith come from? Hearing the word. Hearing the word. Richly. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. The more we know and experience of God's word, the more it dwells in us, and we in Him, in it, the more we dwell in it. And I say it, we're not just reading a book. These are the words of God. This is the word of Christ. We don't treat this like just a book. And we haven't received it like, remember the message in 1 Thessalonians? You received the word, our gospel came to you, not in word only, but in power. This is you know how it is. If the Lord doesn't speak to you, you're just reading words. And you forget, as soon as you read, you forgot it. But now if He speaks to you, if He blesses you, and I'll get into that in a minute, about prayer being a key to reading and hearing God's word. But the more we know and experience of Christ's word, united to Him, He speaks to us through His word, the richer we will be in faith and love and joy and hope and assurance. I need that. I got all the money I need. Do you? Look at you. Sure you do. You got more than one suit of clothes? You've got more than our Lord did. Material. We don't have a fraction of what He had in true riches. We're rich, increased with good. We need to be rich in faith. Rich in love. Rich in hope. Joy. Assurance. If we're rich in that, we don't need much else. Now again, He's talking to those in Christ. Let the word of Christ. Now why does He call it the word of Christ and not the word of God? Why does He do that? Huh? Because the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one. These three are one. It's as much Christ's word as it is God's word. Christ is the word. Isn't it? Our Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to John chapter, where do we go? John 12. John chapter 12. He says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. John chapter 12. Many reasons, but it's the word of Christ because He is the author of it as much as the Father is. He says of Himself, I'm the first, last, the beginning, the end, the author, and the finisher of the faith, isn't it? Now, this is important. This is vital. People that don't know this, don't believe this, they don't know God. Jesus Christ wrote this book. Just as much as the Father. They wrote it together. John 12, look at verse 44. He cried. Now, all right. It was just quoted of what Isaiah said in Isaiah 6. Okay? He just quoted verse 38. Saying of Isaiah, the prophet might be fulfilled. Lord, who hath believed our report? Isaiah 53. And then verse 40. He hath blinded their eyes. That's chapter 6 of Isaiah. And then verse 41. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Who? Jesus Christ. Well, it says in Isaiah 6, the Lord of hosts, capital L-R, Jehovah. Who's that? Jesus Christ. Is this important? There are people all over the world who claim to believe that Jesus is Son of God, but they don't believe He's God. They don't know God. They're lost. Right? That's why they call him Jesus. That's why they call him Jesus. His disciples never did. Never did. They knew who he was. And his word was the word of God. Didn't our Lord say? Didn't God the Father say? Now, Hebrews 1. God, at sundry times and divers manners, spake unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. And then when God hadn't spoken out loud, he never spoke out loud to people. He spoke to his prophets who spoke to the people, right? But in the New Testament, he spoke three times out loud. What did he say? One thing to mankind. This is my beloved Son. Hear him. If you won't hear him, you won't hear from me. God said. He's God. This is vital. You don't know God. You don't know that Christ is God. You don't bow to him as God. There are whole sects that go door to door trying to prove he's not God. Not Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons. That's their whole cause, isn't it? Isn't it? You know it. He's God. His word. He said, heaven and earth will pass away. Not one word of mine shall fail. Well, I'm on a subject I love. He's our Lord and our God. He's not Jesus standing outside my heart's door. He is the door. He's God on the throne. We're going to see. We're never going to see God. No man hath. No man can. But we will. Job said, I will see God with my eye. Who are you going to see, Job? Jesus Christ. Father. He thought it not robbery to be equal with Father. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The Word was made flesh. Great is the mystery of godliness. What does it say? Great is the mystery of godliness. What does it say? God was manifest in the flesh. What's that mean? It means what it says.
That's right.
If anybody doesn't believe that, they don't know God. Do you believe that? Why? He said, flesh and blood hadn't revealed that to you, but my Father. Nobody knows the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father but the Son, he to whom the Son will reveal him. If you know he's God and bow to him and say, you're a son of God. You know God. Isn't that wonderful? Now, where am I? Oh, John, Colossians 3, John 12. Verse 44, he looked at the Lord, cried, and said, he that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. He that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. Didn't he say this to his disciple? Have I been so long time with thee, yet thou hast not known me? Philip, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Call his name Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the Mighty God. Brethren, if he's not God, he's the greatest imposter that ever lived. He's a blasphemer. He let people worship him. If he's not God, he can't save us. If he's not God, you can take or leave anything he said. And that's what most people do. Jesus said this, Jesus said that. I don't agree with it. But if he's God, you better bow to what he says. And he is. He is. God. He's the author of it. He's the subject of it. It's called the Word of Christ, but he's the subject of it. He's the subject of this book. Yes, he is. His name is the Word. If someone doesn't see the Word in the Word, they don't know the Word. They might know the letter of it. There are people that want to be preachers. There's so many questions I'd like to ask them. I guarantee they couldn't answer. But you could. Our children could. I could ask you questions concerning various things throughout the Scripture, and you'd give me the correct answer. You know what you'd tell me? It's Christ. He's all. What's that mean? It means what it says. If you don't see him as all, you don't know anything at all. I'm excited. Because I see, don't you get excited if you see something new of Christ? No, we're not playing. One man said, all you're doing is trying to find Christ in the Scripture. Yes, that's true. Because he's all my hope, all my salvation, all my peace, all my joy. He's the only surety of the covenant. He's the second Adam. He's everything. He's a prophet, priest, king. He's all. If I can see him more clearly and believe him more fully, I got peace. I got comfort. So when you preach, you know, people say, I believe the word. Believe my preacher preaches the word. Oh, does he? He preaches the Bible. Oh, does he? Does he preach Christ? So many of you told me that you grew up in religion and you heard stories like Noah's Ark and the manna and all that, and you never heard Christ's name mentioned one time. I talked to a Reformed preacher from here in town, sitting across the table from him. And I told him, he said, what are you going to preach on? He invited me to dinner. You remember this meeting? He invited me to his house. He said, what are you going to preach on Sunday? I said, Genesis 22. He said, what is that? Refresh my memory. I said, that's Abraham and Isaac. He said, well, I like that story. He said, I've never preached on it. I said, you're kidding me. You ain't never preached nothing, have you? That's what I want to say to him. That's one of the clearest pictures of Christ crucified in the Bible. That's what it's written. That's where it began. Genesis 1, that's where it began. That's where it all began. With who? Christ. The light. He's the light. Where am I? It's supposed to be in Colossians 3. This is the Word. This is Christ. Dwell in you richly. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Not just memorizing Scripture. Are you with me? The Pharisees could quote Scripture. They wore them on their wrists and on their heads as phylacteries. But they didn't know Christ when he came. He has to be revealed to you from the Word. That, you remember Jack Van Impe, that fellow who talked the walking Bible? You know, he could quote Scripture right and left. He didn't know Christ. You wouldn't hear him speak of Jesus Christ. But we do. How? Why? Isn't that amazing? Of all people, most blessed. Psalm 1 again. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man. Who's that speaking of? Jesus Christ. John 1. Jesus Christ. Romans 1. Gospel concerning God's Son. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Go on. Keep going. Name a passage. Name of Scripture. He's the subject of it. He's the author of it. This is the Word of Christ. The book of Christ. So he says, let the Word of Christ, back to several scriptures that John wanted you to read. I will quote this to you. John 8:24. He said, if you believe not that I am He, you will die in your sins. That's what he said. That's how serious. It's not doctrine. It's not, well, I believe He's God. But if He's not God, He can't save us. He didn't save us. All right, in our text, it says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you. Abide in you. Where you dwell is where you abide, where you live. Something or someone dwells with you. They live with you. They live in you. Okay? If we have no real abiding peace or joy, the Word of God must not be dwelling in it. If we have no real abiding faith, trust, and confidence in our Lord, but rather we have worries and doubts and fears, anxiety all the time, the Word of God is not abiding in us. Why? We must be listening to someone else. That's the only explanation for it. Because if the peace of God is in you, it rules. If the Word of Christ is dwelling in you, if we're overcome by and taken up with this world, the Word of Christ is not dwelling in it. Because the exceeding precious promises of our Lord help us escape the corruption that's in the world. It is the restraining grace of God. It keeps us. It is the constraining grace of God. It is the leading of God, the rebuking, the correcting, the chastening, the feeding. It's how we grow stronger. If we're weak in the Word, we'll be weak in faith. Whatever we dwell on. Philippians 4. Remember this? Go back to Philippians 4. We looked at this in regards to verse 15 on peace. Whatever we dwell on dwells in us. You know that? Whatever we hear and read and think on the most, it lives in us. It lives with us. And it controls our thoughts and our feelings and makes us act accordingly. You hear me? Whatever we dwell on and think on is what controls us. Now listen to it. We all need this so much. Now remember, Paul's in prison. Chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. The joy of the Lord is our strength. But look around it. He's the Lord. He's doing this. Let your moderation be known unto all men. What does that mean? That's just not meat and drink, not just appetites, but that's attitude. It's everything. The word actually means to be calm. Be calm. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is at hand. The Lord is reigning. They're ruling. And we're in His hands. Do you remember what happened 20 years ago, September 11th, 20 years ago? Do you remember? Three planes. This is what happened. Three planes flew into three buildings. Two in New York, and one in wherever the Pentagon is. Washington. Virginia. Somewhere. Three planes. The world fell apart. Three airplanes flew into three buildings. And the world fell apart. Why? Are you with me? And we did. Oh no. Oh no. Oh no. Hardly anybody remembers that. Right? Everybody's wanting to join the army. As soon as that happened. Everybody, man and woman, wanted to join the army. Go fight the enemy. Now nobody even thinks about it. You can't even tell it ever happened. Let your moderation be known. Did you hear what happened? What happened? Plane flew in the building. That's bad. That's bad. Lord's on the throne. But did you hear what happened? What happened? Earthquake. Tsunami. Yeah, the Lord didn't hit. Let your moderation be known. They came to the Lord. Remember, they said that tower that fell, there were great sinners. And he said, you repent. You'll perish. That's your moderation. You know, read on. It says, be careful for nothing. Nothing. Be full of anxious cares, what that means, for nothing. Why? There's another scripture, you know this one? This will really help you. Cast all your care upon Him. Why? Can you quote the rest of it? Let me hear you. Does He really? Does He really take care of us? Does He really love His people? His disciples came and said, don't you care? They were so fearful and doubtful. Don't you care? Care? Been taking care of you all this time. And now you're all up and up for. Where's your faith? Yes, I care. I've been caring for you from the day you were born, and I'll care for you to the day you die. I've been carrying you. I took you from your mother's womb, and I'll carry you all the way to glory. Cast all your care on you. He cares for you. You don't have it anyway, might as well get rid of it. Right? I'm talking to myself. In everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God in everything by prayer. Should we pray over everything? Isn't that what it says? We won't, you know, if we don't, we're going to make a wrong move. and say something wrong. Brother, I told you this before. Brother Bruce Crabtree, I love that man. He said somebody called him, they were going to buy a dog. A couple were going to get a dog. And he said, well, go ahead, get your dog. They said, should we pray about it? He said, I don't know. And then later on, he said his conscience bothered him. He said, yeah. He said, yeah, you ought to pray over it. You might get a biting dog. Don't want a biting dog, do you? Pray the Lord won't give you a biting dog. In everything. Everything. What we're doing, we're not telling God anything. We're not informing Him anything. We're not, but we're pouring out our heart to Him. You know, we want things, and we feel guilty for wanting them, and He knows you want them. So, pour out your heart to Him. Pour out your heart, and He'll either grant it or He won't, or convict you for wanting it. Let your request be made known. And the peace of God, read on, which passeth all understanding, human understanding. Read Hebrews 11, what all people that believe God went through. How could they go through what they did? God wasn't with them. If they didn't have this supernatural work of faith in them. Keep your hearts and minds. Keep your affections set where it's supposed to be. Keep your minds. Keep you in peace. Keep your minds from worry and doubt. Verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Can you find anything true today? Can you turn the TV on or a computer or your telephone and find one single thing you know is a fact? Do not accept the facts of man. Come on. They make things up according to their own, whatever their evil intentions are. I'll tell you, it's fact. God can't lie. Why don't we trust Him? Listen to Him. He's true. He's the true God. Whatsoever things are honest. Is there anybody out there honest? Come on. I know who He is. Our Lord. Whatsoever things are just. There's no justice in this world. Don't expect to get it. You can't get justice out of unjust people. God's just. He's just. He said, "I vengeance is mine. I will repay. Everything will receive a just recompense. Everything. Every wrong will be righted and paid for. Every single one. Don't do it yourself. God will do it. Just. Whatsoever things are pure. Pure. He's telling us to think on these things. Don't listen to the filth of the world. It'll fill you full of filth. Fill your minds and hearts with purity. You purify your soul by believing the truth. And you purify your bodies through washed with the Word. That's what the Scripture says. Ephesians 5:26. Whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are lovely. This world is ugly. It's filthy. It's vile and it's wretched. But our Lord Jesus Christ is altogether lovely. His Word is pure. His Word is lovely. His Word is holy. Love to read it. Love to hear it. Whatsoever things of good report. Good report. You remember the 12 spies that went into the land? Moses picked 12 men and said, go into the land, spy out the land, we're going in there. Not, he didn't say, go in there and see if we can handle it. No, he said, go in there and just spy out the land, see where this, and come back and give us a report. 2 men came with a good report. 10 other men said, they're going to kill us, going to eat us up. We're going to die. We're all going to die. 10 out of 12 said, we're all going to die. Let's go back to Egypt. 2 men, Joshua and Caleb, said, it's good, brethren. It's ours. God's promise, He can't lie. Let's go. Didn't they? What's your problem? God promised He can't lie. It's ours. 2 men gave a good report. The rest of them, it's awful, it's terrible, it's all going to die. We need to start listening to the good report, don't we? Now, Luke 21, go back there. Luke 21, we read this last time. Let's read it again. Our Lord told all these dire things that were going to happen. Luke 21, oh, I love this. This needs to dwell in us. If this word would dwell in us, peace will keep us. Listen to it. Luke 21. He said, verse 9. He said, when you hear wars and commotion, be not terrified. That's your moderation again. These things must first come to pass. End is not by and by. Now that was 2,000 years ago. Then said he unto them, nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Did you hear Vladimir, is that his name? Putin? What's his first name? Vladimir, president of Russia? Is that his name? It doesn't matter. He'd be gone. Somebody else. But he's threatening the United States. He's threatening us. Huh. Well, let's all get in a bomb shelter. What do you say? No, let's trust the Lord. That man's in the hands of our Lord. His heart's in his hands. Great earthquakes, verse 11, shall be in divers places. Famines and pestilence and fearful sight. Let's say the San Andreas Fault in California is just waiting to happen. Just waiting to happen. You know what I'd do? I'd move. And there's no gospel there. Fearful sights, great signs shall there be from heaven. Before all these, they'll lay their hands on you, verse 12, persecute you, deliver you up. It'll turn to you for a testimony, verse 13. Testimony. You're going to tell them who's on the throne, who's doing that. That's what it's for. You're going to tell everybody who did that. Settle it, verse 14, therefore in your heart. Verse 50, I'll give you a mouth and wisdom. Word. Look at verse 17. You'll be hated of all men for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head will perish. But now Paul got his head cut off. It was the Lord did it. But until it's time, not one hair is going to fall. A bird's not going to fall to the ground in the woods, and not a hair of your head is going to fall to the ground unless the Lord says, fall. Right? People say, I don't believe that. I do. We do, don't we? You see Jerusalem compassed. Look down at verse 25. Signs in the moon, the sun, the stars, distress of nations, men's hearts failing them for fear, looking at those things coming upon the earth. Then they're going to see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and glory. And here's what he said. When these things begin to come to pass, look up. It's a good report. When you see really bad things happening, here's the good report. Your redemption's drawing nigh. I got good news. You want to hear the bad news or the good news? If you hear the bad news, and then you hear the good news, Brother Scott said, I ain't never heard any bad news since I heard good news. Right? When you hear the good news, the bad news ain't so bad. Not so bad. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Go back to our text. Think on these things. Think on these things. Oh, don't let the media and all this stuff rule you. Let the Word of God rule you. Word of Christ rule in you. People are like dumb animals or apes, listening to and falling for everything they see. Don't do it. In our text it says, let the Word of Christ dwell you richly in all wisdom. 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 We need wisdom, don't we? We need wisdom from above. We need wisdom to think right, walk right, talk right. We need wisdom at home. We need wisdom on our job. We need wisdom in the world. We need wisdom. Wisdom to judge, to discern, to do, to avoid. Wisdom to see what's right, what's wrong, what's from God's Word. And we only see that in light of His Word. Wisdom. I was late, me and I was late coming because I was reading the Proverbs on wisdom. And 115 times in the Proverbs, wisdom is spoken of. 115 times. Ecclesiastes 48 times. Fools or foolishness 83 times in the prophet. You want to know what's wise? You want to know what's foolish? Go to the prophet and you'll see. What's the beginning of wisdom? You know how few people fear the Lord? If we feared the Lord more, we fear man less. We fear thinking. And I just was browsing. I was reading, and Mom called and said, "Where are you? You're supposed to pick me up." Oh, I forgot. I was just enthralled with all the wisdom. Everywhere you look, wisdom, wisdom. This is wisdom. My son, this is wisdom. Wisdom's better than Ruby. Wisdom is, with all you're getting, get wisdom and all and all. Let the word of Christ dwell in us richly in all wisdom. Wisdom to know. Wisdom to speak. You know these verse, wisdom, words like this. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him. Wisdom to know when to speak, when not to speak. Wisdom to know what to say and what not to say and how to say it. Anybody need that? I do. Answer not a fool according to his folly. You're going to be just like him. Don't sit there and argue with a fool. Then the next verse says, answer the fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. We need to know when to let somebody get by with something and when not to. Hold on now, buddy. Did you hear what you said? And do it in love. We need the wisdom to speak the truth in love. Wisdom. We need wisdom. Provide. Oh, no man spake like our Lord did he? With authority, with power, with love, with mercy, with grace, with understanding. I want to speak like that. Wisdom to deal with people, don't you? The majority of our lives are spent dealing with people. Oh, man. Relationships, and we need wisdom. No, it only comes one place. The wisdom of God is, listen to this, James, turn there, James chapter 3. James 4 says the wisdom of God, verse 13. Who is a wise man, a dude with knowledge among you? Let him show out a good conversation his work with meekness of wisdom. And he goes on to say, the wisdom, verse 17, from above is pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, good fruit, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Go study that a while. Let that dwell in us richly. Or if that dwelled in us, we'd have some wisdom like our Lord. And in our text, it says this. Let me close with it. It says in verse 16, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Teaching and admonishing one another. Does anybody in here feel capable of teaching anyone? I don't. The necessity is laid upon me. It's just what I've been called to do. But I don't feel capable. Paul said, who is sufficient? Paul said, we preach in part. We know in part. But where is my sufficiency from? Right here. Yeah, this is my sufficiency. If I immerse myself in this, I'll be able to teach you something. All right, it says here, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms. That's the word of God. That's where it began. He's not telling us you need to rebuke and reprove each other, correct each other. You need to straighten each other out. He's not saying that. Teaching in psalms. That is, if all the time we were bringing up something from the psalms, it would teach us. It would admonish us. Admonish means warn. It means reprove. we got enough of our own faults and problems without trying to straighten somebody else out. But the Word of God, if we were more conversant with it and spoke more of it and knew more of it and knew more of the Psalms and whatever we're with the brethren and start talking about, well, you know what the Psalm said? You know what the Word said? It'd help us out. We'd all be taught. We'd be admonished. We'd be convicted. Teaching Psalms, hymns. This is why the Lord ordained hymns and singing, because you can remember the Word through music, can't you? You can remember the Word. I venture to say that most everybody in here knows Psalm 121 by now. Well, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hill, from whence cometh my help. Somebody put the music. The Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in. What are you afraid of? From this time forth and even forevermore. Even forevermore. Start singing. You get down, somebody else is down, start singing to them. I don't say it works, not like some kind of mantra. But it's the Word of God dwelling in us, making good report. The Psalms. David said, why art thou cast down within me? You know where that is? Psalm 42. Why art thou cast down within me, O my soul? Hope thou in God. I will yet praise him who's the health of my countenance. Those verses are in us. When we get cast down, we will remember, be like a wellspring springing up. We feel better. And if a brother's cast down, we sing that to him. Tell that to him, her. I love Pilgrim and his companion, Pilgrim's Progress, Christian faithful one, isn't it? What's his name? He'd be walking along and Christian would say to faith, he said, come, my dear brother, let's have profitable discourse. And they did. And they had the wisdom to handle every fellow that came along. Mr. Talkative, Mr. This, Mr. That. They'd say nothing to him because the Word of God says this. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Grace. And it ends. We're going to look Sunday at wives and husbands. But verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. The Word of God teaches us that all we do is for His glory and His honor and for His cause. And so let's do it cheerfully and thankfully and gratefully and whatever it is, from whatever it may be, from cutting the grass to washing the dishes to fixing food to having somebody over to whatever it may be. It's keeping the nursery, playing the piano. It's all under the Lord. It's a good thing. It's a necessary thing. It's a needful thing. If it's under the Lord loves a cheerful giver. He doesn't love a dutiful person. He loves a cheerful, willing person. I ask you men all the time, I said, would you read and pray for us? And I know how you feel. You get instant diarrhea. You do. But you say to me, oh, I'd be glad to. Love to. And I know, I love that. Don't you know the love? Lord loves that. He loves that. Oh, I'd be glad to. Give me great delight. Whatever you do. Do it willingly, cheerfully. Oh, we got a lot to be thankful for, don't we? We've got great cause to serve His cause, what all He's done for us. All right, stand with me. Father in heaven, thank you again for your word. Oh my, how we need it. Live upon it. May it live in us, oh Lord. Oh, may the word dwell in us richly. Teach us, lead us, guide us by your word. Let these sayings sink down deep. Write them on our heart. Hide thy word in our hearts that we might not sin against thee. Order our steps in thy word. Let no iniquity have dominion over us. Oh, Lord, this is your blessed word. Speak to us through it and keep us by it. We thank you for it. In Christ's name, amen. You're dismissed.